You are Locked On Orioles, your daily podcast on the Baltimore Orioles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Locked On Orioles. We're joined now again by Luke Seiler. Luke writes about Orioles prospects for Orioles Hangout. He's been on the podcast many times before talking about Orioles of the future, because we know we don't want to be talking about Orioles of the present, that's for sure. So, Luke, what I wanted to ask you, the minor league season's been over for a couple weeks now, and we know a few of these guys who played the minors for the Orioles this year have been called up and are playing in September on the big league club. DJ Stewart is one of them. But just in terms of overall prospects in 2018, I wanted to just take a look back a little bit about the minor league seasons that some of these guys had. So the first thing I wanted to ask you is, could you just tell me, in your opinion, name like maybe two or three guys in the Orioles system who improved their stock in 2018 and look like better prospects now than they did at this time last year?
I mean, number one, the first guy that jumps into my mind and would have to be on any list like this anyone would make would be D.L. Hall, who was the first round draft pick last year for the Orioles. And I mean, he really had a great full season debut, both statistically and also, you know, from a scouting perspective. He pitched 94 innings in full season Delmarva, and he struck out 9.5 guys per 9 innings, walked 4, had some control issues early in the year, but pitched to a 2.10 ERA over those 94 innings as one of the youngest pitchers in the league. It's very impressive for a 19-year-old left-hander. I saw a start where he was holding 95, 80-plus pitches in, 95 miles per hour on his fastball for a left-handed 19-year-old, which is extremely impressive. He also developed his changeup a lot this year. He didn't really have one much to speak of coming out of high school, but by the end of the season, he was comfortable using it as an out pitch. It's not there yet, but you could project it as even being an above average major league pitch eventually. And he still has his curveball, which he struggled with at times during the year. He would drop his arm slot a little bit and it would get a little slurvy on him, but I still see it as being a plus pitch going forward. So you're looking at a guy with two plus pitches and then maybe an average one. He's going to find his way into plenty of top 100 lists at the end of the season. He was just added, I believe, to Baseball America's top 100.
Right. But, yeah. That happened just this week.
Yes. But you'll see him as I would expect him to be a fixture on top 100 lists, because lefties that sit in the mid-90s with a plus secondary pitch and a third pitch that works. And his fastball command improved as the season went on, too. So he's an athletic guy. I mean, you know, those guys are hard to find, lefties that throw like that.
Well, let me ask you one thing about him. I know this is a question a lot of Orioles fans are going to have, because we are, as I mentioned, we're all just looking to the future at this point. He's obviously young. He's pitched in the lower minors this year. Where do we expect to see him over the next couple of years, and when maybe might we expect to see him in Baltimore realistically?
So I would say the earliest you would expect to see him in Baltimore would probably be mid-2020, and that would mean he's developed pretty quickly. He would be, I believe, 21 years old by then. I would expect next year, in 2019, for him to start in High A Frederick with a chance to be promoted to Double A if he pitches well, because his inning count will be a little higher this year. They were keeping him limited late in the season this year in order to, you know, not jump him too many innings from his previous season. So next year he'll probably have 120 or 130 innings in the tank as long as he stays healthy. So I could see a promotion to Double A. And once you're in Double A, you're an option. They'll probably take it slow, play it conservative with him, because this is a guy of any of their guys in the minors that has that heading up a rotation type of ceiling. Now, that's not his projection. He doesn't project as a top of a rotation guy, but he definitely has that ceiling. He could get there. I mean, there's definitely risk, and he's a long ways away.
Right, and there's absolutely no reason to rush him. I mean, the Orioles aren't doing anything in 2019. They're likely not doing anything in 2020. So, you know, there's every incentive in the world to take their time and let him develop at a natural pace.
Another guy that really improved his stock this year, not as much of a top prospect as D.L. Hall, but a guy that we could see on the Orioles next year, we should see probably on the Orioles next year, is Brandon Klein. People who have been following the Orioles prospects for a long time might remember he was a top 10 Orioles prospect back two or three years ago. He's 26 now, and he has dealt with a Tommy John surgery and then further setbacks from that surgery, and was back healthy pitching this year for the first time in, I believe it was over 2 years. He pitched 65 innings between High A Frederick and Double A, and he pitched to a 1.84 ERA. His fastball velocity, he's a reliever. He pitched as a closer for Bowie. His fastball sits 96 to 98. He has a real over the top delivery, a high arm slot, and he gets a lot of downward plane on his fastball. And he has a pretty good slider as well. It started the season pretty rough. He was kind of rusty, but it developed some sharp downward break that really separated itself from his fastball movement. So he struck out almost 10 batters per 9 innings and only walked 2.5. He's a guy that the Orioles will have to protect from the Rule 5 draft, add to their 40-man roster this offseason. So he'll definitely get a long look in spring training next year. And I wouldn't be surprised if he makes the team out of spring training.
Now, he's a bullpen guy. What sort of role do you think he might have if he does make the big league team?
I see him, his breaking ball, his slider, it's not like a real wipeout weapon. It's good enough, but I think that will limit him from being like an 8th or 9th inning guy. But I could see him either being a solid bullpen piece, maybe a 7th inning guy, maybe a Brad Brock type guy. You know, if things work out, I could see him being that type of reliever.
Okay, so besides those two, then, are there any other players that you see who maybe are looking better now than they were?
A definite guy who's jumped out is Ryan McKenna. Now, some of the shine had probably worn off because in Bowie, he wasn't as good as he was in Frederick. In Frederick, he lit the world on fire. He had a 1,023 OPS in Frederick. He was hitting something like in the 370s batting average. And that dropped off a bit in Bowie, but he's a center fielder, so the bat doesn't have to be great in order for him to be a valuable major leaguer. And he's shown that he can make solid contact. He's one of the fastest guys in the minors. He's faster than Cedric Mullins. He gets down the line from home to first faster than anyone that the Orioles have. So he makes every, you know, infield ground ball an adventure for the defense. And he's got a little bit of pop in his bat. How much he has, that's going to be, you know, what we're going to figure out over the next year or two. But he's only 21 years old. He's already in Double A. He was holding his own, hitting about league average in Double A. And he plays a solid center field, and he's got the tools in center field to be a plus center fielder defensively. He's not quite there yet. There's some issues with jumps and routes that need to be worked out, but they improved this year. And talking about Cedric Mullins, who we've all seen for a couple months now playing with the big club and looking good at the plate, is that the one thing about Mullins in center field is his arm. If you've been paying close attention, teams have been taking bases on him left and right just because he doesn't have your typical center field arm. He's fast. He can get to the ball. I mean, he definitely is moving around a lot better out there than Adam Jones had, you know, in his, you know, kind of advanced age where he's been slowing down. But maybe McKenna is the guy that eventually ends up in center field because he's got a much better arm than Mullins, And he's just as fast. And if he can hit for enough power, he looks like an everyday player. And last year he didn't really look like that, but he's cut down on his swings and misses. He's making better contact. And he held his own in Double A as a 21-year-old. So we'll have to see how he develops from here, whether he can really turn it on at Double A. He'll probably start the year in Double A again. And if he can start, you know, if he can improve on his showing, he'll be in Triple A in no time. And, you know, he'd be an option as early as late next year, if not early 2020.
Yeah, and certainly you think the Orioles are going to have some opportunities next year because they're not going to be fielding a team of all-stars, so there's definitely going to be some opportunities
definitely.
For guys. All right, so let's look at the other side of the equation then. Guys who, coming into 2018, maybe you were high on and you're less high on now.
Yeah, so looking at the Orioles, you know, the Orioles farm system as a whole, it was a pretty injury-free year as a whole. You know, if you're looking at the whole population, but the guys that were hurt were the guys that we really wanted to see, you know, the top prospects. Those are the ones that got hurt. So it was kind of disappointing in that respect. You have first Hunter Harvey.
I mean, there's always injuries with that guy.
So, you know, he just started pitching again after his Tommy John surgery, and he showed strong at the end of last season. I mean, not just putting up good numbers, and obviously in the low minors, but also looking really good too, having a better delivery, you know, less violence there, having good fastball velocity, good curveball. They skipped him to Double A this year. Buck won him on the major league team, but you know, cooler heads prevailed, and he started in Double A, and while his numbers weren't great in Double A, he had like a 5-something ERA. The peripherals were good. I mean, he was striking people out. He wasn't walking a ton of people. His fastball was in the high 90s some days. And he was, you know, curveball wasn't as good as I've seen it before. But, you know, he looked like a guy that was rusty and might still be, you know, a top of the, you know, top middle of the rotation guy or a top reliever. But he got hurt. I guess he was dodging a foul ball in the dugout and he dislocated his shoulder. I mean, if they didn't have bad luck, they would have no luck at all. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
And so, you know, with an injury like that to a pitcher, you're like, you're not really sure. That's unusual. You're not sure how a pitcher's going to respond to that. But, you know, I didn't want to really get too down on it because it's just, you know, a freak kind of thing. But now he's been starting throwing again. He felt some discomfort in his forearm. They shut him down, got an MRI, showed no structural damage. Then he started throwing again just recently. And I think it was a couple days ago, they shut him down again with elbow soreness in his pitching arm. So he was going to throw in the Arizona Fall League, but now, you know, he's probably shut down until he starts throwing in the spring. And it's really hard to, I mean, it's really hard to have any confidence on him ever being healthy. So we'll see where he goes from here. At the point where he dislocated his shoulder, he was throwing in the high 90s and flashing a plus curveball. So, you know, if he can stay healthy, which right now is the biggest if or but you could imagine, you could still see him turning into a good late inning reliever. I mean, he's got that kind of stuff. You know, he has those bloodlines, but as of right now, it's really hard to expect anything from him because you're just going to disappoint yourself, I feel like.
Well, we're used to that as Orioles fans.
Yeah. So, and then, along the same lines of Hunter Harvey, you have Austin Hayes, who, you know, by some top 100 lists had him, you know, a top 30, top 40 guy. And I mean, I didn't see him as that type of top prospect. I saw him more in like the 60s, 70s range, But he was a guy that looked like he had, you know, five average or better tools, and pretty much ready for the major leagues. But he hurt his lat in spring training, and then he dealt with ankle issues the rest of the season. He had a ganglion cyst in his ankle and also a stress fracture. And I'm not a doctor. I don't know how those things, you know, I think they're all interrelated, because he just recently had surgery on his ankle, and they did a bone graft to try to prevent the cyst from growing back by, you know, taking a different piece of bone and, you know, graft it in there. So hopefully he'll be healthy at the beginning of next year. He struggled some this year. I think he was pressing a lot at the plate. Plus, I don't think he was ever fully healthy. But he still has the power to hit 30 home runs if he can make enough contact. You know, he can still play an above average defense in a corner in right or left field. He's got a good throwing arm. And, you know, if this ankle thing is behind him, I think we can be optimistic, at least cautiously optimistic for him next year, as a guy who could even maybe win a spot on the team. But it was disappointing seeing a guy that you thought was going to be a decent part of this year's squad, you know, basically having a lost year.
All right, well, let's look ahead a little bit to 2019. Is there one guy, one prospect you're very interested in seeing next year, a guy, maybe a younger guy who we haven't seen as much of, somebody who you think is really going to be just somebody who's interesting to look at in terms of what they might do in 2019, in terms of where they might be on these lists next year?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few guys I can list off real quick. One of them, one that should be on all these lists, is Grayson Rodriguez, 11th overall pick.
Right.
I just read a report that at the end of his Gulf Coast League season, that's the rookie league down in Florida, he was sitting 95-97 over three, four inning stints. And his curveball has improved from high school. So, and he looked like a strike thrower. So, I mean, that's a guy who could really jump onto the scene next year. I mean, if he's coming out in longer stints and throwing in the high 90s with a good curveball, good slider, and a workable change, you know, with his body type and size, he's 6'5", I think, like 225. So he's kind of like a workhorse build. You know, he could really jump on, you know, into the top 100 radar right away. And that's what you get when you pick guys early. You get guys that have that type of potential. Some other guys to watch for next year is the other Hall that was drafted in 2017, Adam Hall. He started off struggling a little bit with the bat in a short season Aberdeen, but he came on strong in the second half, was just lights out the second half of the season, just hitting everything and hitting it hard. He's a guy that, you know, projects to stick at shortstop and offer an above average hit tool. The question with him is how much power he's going to produce. So that's something to watch for next year. And if he starts putting balls over the fence, he's a legit, legit guy. So we'll have to wait and see. He's fast too. I think he stole something like 22, 23 bases, only got caught a few times, in short season. So, you know, that's something like 40, 50 over a full season. And then one guy that I thought was really, or a couple guys that I thought were really interesting that are drafted this year, the Orioles picked up a couple high school pitchers that had strong debuts this year and down in the Gulf Coast League. One of them's Drew Rahm, who was their fourth round pick. He had a 1.76 ERA over 30 innings down in the GCL. I know it's small sample size, but his strikeout to walk ratio was like 4-1. And he's a lefty that when he was drafted already threw in the 90s. There's some projectability there. And he also had the feel, you know, he had two workable off speed pitches, and I think it's a knuckle curve and a changeup. So he's interesting. And then a late round guy, I think he was picked in May the 14th round by the Orioles, high schooler, local guy, a Maryland guy, Jake Zebron. And he also threw 30 innings down in the GCL, had a 2.97 ERA, didn't strike out a ton of guys, but also didn't walk very many. And he may be a little bit more raw than some of those early round draft picks. I mean, you know, there's a reason why a guy will make it to, you know, past the 10th round. But I've read that his fastball's touched 96 miles per hour. And from looking at some video of him pitching, he's got a deceptive delivery. He's a righty. He was a quarterback in high school, multi-sport guy. So, and there's some real projection on his body. He might be the most projectable guy that they drafted as far as, you know, room to fill out a frame. So, and he already throws, you know, in the mid 90s. So he's a guy that could really jump on the scene as a late round guy that surprises, I think, depending on how he develops.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for joining us as always, Luke. We'll be looking forward to seeing how those guys do next year and over the next few years as the Orioles try to rebuild and get back into contention within the next, you know, maybe by 2021 or so. People should check out your work at Orioles Hangout. And they can find you on Twitter. It's at @the_Luke_Siler, S-I-L-E-R. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you, Justin.
And that's going to do it for another edition of Locked On Orioles. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.